All right, we're going to start our next show. You guys having a good time so far? All right, great. Thank you. You guys are new to the show. You showed up perfect timing. Thank you for being here. You won't get heckled, I promise. Sign from. All right, so we're going to go ahead and start. You guys ready?
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience.
That is you.
In a show called
Stab. Thank you guys for coming out to Stab here at Luna's Cafe, 1414 16th Street in Sacramento, California. We're here every first and third Wednesday. I'm your host, John Ross. Are you ready to meet your contestants? Yes, wonderful. Please welcome to the stage, Ali Yeda. Right here in seat number one. Right in middle. Drew Kimsey, that's his name. I almost forgot it. Please, I'm so sorry. Drew Kimsey. And last but not least, a very lovely, talented, hunky Mr. Jesse Jones.
Staff.
So hunky. So hunky. So hunky. Sorry. Hey guys, how are the holidays treating you? All at once. All at one time.
Pretty
That's
good.
Fine.
Good. Is your mic on, Drew? I don't think it is. I think somebody. There we go.
There we go.
Welcome. Well, thank you for being here for the second show tonight. You're the headliners, so no pressure. No pressure. Allie.
Yes.
So we rarely do this. We have two new people on the show that have never been on the show before. So we really trust you. So thank you guys for being here.
I've been waiting for years to be asked to be on the show, by the way. So I'm finally here.
Woo! Yeah! Yes, New Year's resolution. Finally. 5 years. I don't know. I can't even get on this show.
I have been a fan for a long time.
Well, thank you for coming. Ali, do you paint?
I do.
What else do you do? What's your gig? What do you do?
I own dogs.
You own dogs?
I own dogs. I paint. What else do I do, Drew? I cook.
You follow around Andrew Bird? Don't you do that?
I do. I paint in order to fund my my travel, my stalking to follow Andrew Bird. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. Anyone a fan? Okay, so I follow him everywhere. He lives in California, by the way, but I'll fly to Europe or Canada or
you will.
New
so
York
I've noticed every time you go, you just were in Nashville, right?
Yeah.
And you saw him in Nashville. And I noticed when you go, you take pictures with him while you're there.
I try.
Does he know you? Does he go, oh, hey? Or is he like, oh, hey? Like, do you?
I try to stay anonymous. Except for one time, because I have this massive tattoo on my back that's all like his stuff and
his address.
I had him sign it, and then I got that signature tattooed on me. So ever since then, I've been careful not to identify myself as the tattoo girl, so that he doesn't run.
Do you think what if he ends up doing something horrible? Will you have to get him removed?
Someone else brought that up. I hope not. He seems like a genuinely good person.
They all do, Allie. They all do. I'm just kidding. Sorry. I thought it would be a unique story, and now I'm all right.
No, not unique at all.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Allie, for being here, and thanks for being on our show. All right, sitting next to you, to the right of you, to my front, to your front. I don't know, but like, all right. Drew Kimsey, how are you, Drew?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I like your sweater.
Oh, thank you. last night I was I played Frank Costanza in a Seinfeld themed burlesque show, and now I'm just rolling with it.
Now you're gonna go well.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
What was your signature move?
Dancing with the bro.
Do the move.
Oh. I'll wait for the video podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, before we'll have you do it before the end of the show.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Drew. It's also your first time. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to you.
That's fine.
You want to just start the show?
Yeah, might as well.
All right, let's do it.
You don't need to know anything about me.
All right, let's do it. Here it is. Here's half of an intro.
Close enough.
You didn't get the growl. I apologize. This first segment is called This Was Today Once. Aliada, on this date, 1985. Pope John Paul II announces the institution of World Youth Day. Also on this date, 1946, American director, producer, and screenwriter Dick Wolf was born. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Well, I actually find it ironic that you asked this question because Dick Wolf was actually the Pope's first screen name. Yeah, I don't know if you guys knew that. I celebrated by watching Law & Order SVU, which we all know stands for Sexy Vatican Unit. And I did this, of course, while drinking iced tea, which I'm sure you all know is the Pope's beverage of choice when luring children into his basement.
Would you like some tea? Very good, Allie. Very good. One more time for Aliada. Or just once for her. I don't know if you've already clapped for her, but one more time. Very good. Drew.
Hi.
Sorry to yell at you.
That's okay.
I'm upset. No, I'm kidding. Drew, on this date, 1942, World War II, Japanese Air Forces bomb Calcutta, India. Also on this date, 1966, the NBA awards the Seattle Supersonics a franchise for the 67 and 68 season. How did you celebrate these events in tandem?
You know, John, I'm glad you asked. As you said, in 1942, the Japanese Air Forces bombed Calcutta, India. And as we all know, Calcutta was an important hub for air activity during the war due to its proximity to China and Burma. Now, obviously, since the British had a long history of political and military presence in the region, just like they did the rest of the fucking world, this was a crucial target for the flailing regime of Supreme Military Leader Hideki Tojo. The air raids in the region went real, real good. Like crazy good. Many military warehouses and hundreds of lives were destroyed by the fiery inferno birthed by the Japanese bombardment. Cool, right? After a series of other military and political takeovers, Calcutta became the longest-running democratically elected communist government. It's a mouthful. Which, of course, in today's political climate, translates to la la la, communism bad, I don't care, fuck everyone, go Patriots. Now, also on this date, in 1966, the city of Seattle was awarded a franchise by the National Basketball Association. The team was named the Seattle Supersonics in honor of the now-defunct Boeing 2707 plane. The project was the United States' first foray into the creation of a large supersonic aircraft and could seat 250 to 300 people. Boy, what a wild ride. Do you remember all those water cooler conversations you had in the 60s, all about the swing wing configuration? Golly, I know I did. It's all anyone could talk about. And guess what? That's the fucking plane you were talking about. However, as you also may recall, due to rising costs and the limited predicted effectiveness of the prototype models, the project was eventually canceled. Instead, they made dull, boring, can't even fly at Mach 1, piece of shit, what are we flying, Buddy Holly's plane? Planes. Unsurprisingly, the Seattle Supersonics were a miserable team that was eventually bought by Oklahoma City and renamed the Thunder. And, in keeping with the theme of Oklahoma City, they've been bombing ever since. To celebrate this historic day, every year I dine at the longest-running aerospace-themed communist Indian seafood restaurant within a four-block radius of my apartment. It's actually owned by a retired player from the Seattle Supersonics. It's called Detlef Shrimp's Shrimp Blimp. And each year I visit the Shrimp Blimp, and I always buy their Chairman Mountain of Shrimp. And of course, I share it with everybody. And of course, I give the dish very, very high marks.
Very good, Drew. Very good. You offended them with
I would
Oklahoma
like to
City
add,
bombing.
I would like to add that he didn't Google any of that.
Just off the dome.
Just knew it. Just knew it.
If you got it, flaunt it.
Jesse Jones, on this date, 1980, NBC broadcast the New York Jets 24-17 win over the Dolphins, but it was broadcast without audio. Also on this date, 1803, the Louisiana Purchase is completed at a ceremony in New Orleans. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned in tandem?
Well, John, it's actually an amazing coincidence because just this last weekend, I actually took a jet to New Orleans to buy a dolphin from a mute Frenchman. Of course, it didn't mean much to me at the time. These sorts of transactions are actually pretty commonplace for someone of my obscene wealth and power. But it's actually not the first time that an everyday mundanity of my extravagant and incredibly interesting lifestyle has found me inadvertently recreating a conglomeration of otherwise wildly unrelated historical events. For example, last March 30th, the date of America's 1867 purchase of Alaska from Russia, and the enacting of the 15th Amendment, giving the black man the right to vote. Well, I just happened to be at an international wine and spirits competition in Anchorage, where for the first time ever a black Russian, like a white Russian except made with coffee liqueur instead of milk, was voted best in show by the Alaskan Booze Congress. And then on the 6th of May, the anniversary of the 1937 Hindenburg crash, the 1626 purchase of the island of Manhattan from the island's Native American residents, the opening of the newly commissioned Eiffel Tower in 1889, and the passing of the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. I found myself drinking a Manhattan in a New Jersey Indian casino before buying a balloon from a lovely young woman named Karen Wong, whom I later Eiffel Towered with the Pigou dealer. Who also filled her to capacity with a wonderful set of finely crafted anal beads, which I gave him to pay for my drink. Again, it didn't strike me as extraordinary at the time, but boy, did I have a good chuckle about the coincidence after I had Ms. Wong forcibly removed from my room the next morning.
Very good. That was This Was Today Once. Lots of dates to remember.
Yeah.
That one. Very good.
It gets easier from here.
Dude, we we're this close to becoming an NPR entity.
Yeah.
with that much history.
We're working on our franchise.
We're trying to break some new ground. This next segment is called a reorganization. Jesse reminded me before the show that we have done this exact acronym before.
That's all right.
But please take this acronym that I made up and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? With Jesus' birthday coming up right around the corner, tonight's acronym is Ho Ho Ho. H-O-H-O-H-O. Ali, what does Ho 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 mean to you?
It stands for hippos ordinarily have opioid habits, okay? Stop trying to make it a crisis. It's normal.
Very good. Hippos ordinarily have opioid
habits.
There we
okay.
go. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Very good. I like it. I like
you know,
it.
No, I've heard that.
It's real.
Drew, what does ho 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 mean to you?
Ham. Oh, ham. Oh, ham.
Ooh.
Ooh. You batted your eyelids at me when you did that. And I'm a little moist.
He rehearsed that.
That was very good. That was very good. Jesse, what does ho 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 mean to you? And what did do you remember what yours was last time?
It was some organ harvesting.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, big fan.
All right. What
of
is
the ho 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 from 2 years ago?
What does ho 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 mean to you? This year.
This show, I'm just chock full of funny voices. So let's... I'm sorry, Jill, but I'm super confused. A hot tub doesn't look like it's been cleaned in weeks, and even if it had been, it's ice cold. The bowl she set out for everybody's keys isn't nearly big enough, and it's got flecks of salsa still caked on it. And the lube's set out in shot glasses. The bar is stocked with nothing but Sunny D and dry vermouth. And the sex swing is just full of dirty laundry and Whopper wrappers. I mean, I don't want to be rude or anything, but how often has Olivia hosted orgies? The finger foods are flaming hot Cheetos and cocktail onions. There's no DJ, just a Fine Young Cannibals Pandora station. And all the towels feel like they were pulled out of the dryer like 15 minutes too early. It just doesn't seem like this has been very well thought out. Seriously, how often has Olivia hosted orgies? There's a sign-up sheet on the coffee table for strip hungry hippos. The dildos on all the strap-ons have been replaced with minion action figures. And for some reason, all the porn is playing in reverse. And I never realized how unsettling the sight of jizz being sucked back up by penises would be. I mean, I'm still staying for the gangbang, but for fuck's sake, how often has Olivia hosted orgies?
Oh, that was ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, that was the one I've been waiting to do all
day. That was funny. I liked it. This next segment, I think I labeled it incorrectly on your papers here, but it's called Pickup Lines. Pickup Lines. Please provide three pickup lines from the perspective of the following people. Allie, please have written three pickup lines from the perspective of confetti. We'll do one at a time.
Hey, girl. Can I explode all over your hair?
Very good. Very good. Drew, from the perspective of a New Year's resolution.
Hey, baby. Want to forget about me in a week?
Nice.
Very good. Jesse Jones, baby New Year. Baby New Year. Mm-hmm.
Goo goo gaga, girl. How about we get down to business while you're still excited to see me and before I get a chance to disappoint you like I eventually do every time?
Very good. Your second of confetti.
Yo, cutie. Want to find me in your ass crack later?
Oh, confetti. A New Year's resolution.
Hey, hot stuff. The idea of me is better than reality.
It's true. Jesse Jones, baby New Year.
Baby boo boo girl. I hope that diet and exercise plan in your New Year's resolution includes butt stuff and swallowing. No.
Allie, your third, confetti.
I come in a pouch.
Drew.
Hey, sexy. I'm impossible.
Jesse Jones, baby New Year.
Baby New Year.
Wrapping it up.
Babble, babble, dribble, drool, girl. Yeah. I can rock a top hat, diaper, and a sash. But I think they'd look even better crumpled up on your bedroom floor.
Very good. That was pickup lines. Ladies in the corner having tea. Is this what you expected when you walked in? I feel like you're not here for this. Thank you for being here, though. You may enjoy this next segment called Erotic Letter to the Editor. Please have composed an erotic letter to the editor of the following publications, Ali Yeda. Your publication is Bon Appetit.
Oh, shit. It's pronounced Bon Appetit? Okay, well... Here goes anyway. I want to fuck my favorite body bit. It's not the ass, and it's not the clit. Your magazine is quite the perfect fit. For you see, I too like to bone ape tit. It's almost human. Except not round. Oh, that muscly square I'd like to pound. Lube is easy. Just look down and spit and start to bone that sweet ape tit.
Ape tit. Very good, Allie. Let's hear it for Allie. Giving it up for Bon Appetit. Ape tit. Bone ape tit. An erotic letter to the editor, Drew, to the magazine known as Lego Magazine. Lego Magazine. Real Lego magazine. Real publication.
Honey, I'm a puzzle, but not the kind that's flat. If you want to finish me, you better hustle. I'm no puny star destroyer. I'm bigger than that. I'm straight from the box, baby. I'm the hardest one there is. I know you've been thinking about me lately because my instruction manual is longer than his. Baby, I would love to hear you squeal when you step on a piece of me with your heel. When I'm completed, skip all the talking, because I'm fast, baby. I'm the Millennium Falcon.
Very good. Poems to the editor.
Yeah, I was just...
Poems to the editor.
I was just reviewing the prompt to make sure that... that I wasn't supposed to rhyme.
What,
this.
Are you the only one that gets to change prompts in the middle?
Okay. Fuck.
All right. Jesse Jones,
no,
please.
I like it.
Please
say.
Yeah, it was good.
I didn't rhyme good. Even a single line in here. So it's just. Okay.
Jesse, the name of your publication is Hot Rod Magazine. Hot Rod Magazine.
Dear, quote, Hot Rod, unquote, magazine. How dare you! Each and every individual involved with your, quote, publication, unquote, should be absolutely ashamed with yourselves. I hope you're all quite proud of the deliberate deception which your, quote, magazine, unquote, perpetrates on the periodical purchasing public. Earlier this evening, I purchased the December edition of your staple-bound pamphlet of lies at my local liquor store, along with a reasonably priced quality bottle of wine and a small 1/4 ounce pot of Vaseline brand personal petroleum jelly. Retrieving my purchase from the familiar discreet black plastic bag and banishing my trousers to the appropriate hamper, I settled in for a relaxing 30 to 90 seconds of self-flagellation. But to my utter shock and disgust, upon peeling back the glossy cover of, quote, Hot Rod, unquote, magazine. What did my dewy eyes find therein? Not even a single steamy dong. The rapid, anguished deflation of my erection was nearly audible. You do not produce a magazine under the Hot Rod masthead without delivering on the thick, veiny promise made thereout. I have informed everyone in the Cock Mags Facebook group, of which I am an administrator, to avoid your disappointment rag like the plague upon boners which it is. I've also warned all the exhibitionist friends of mine that your equally misleading, quote, Street Rotter Unquote magazine is more the same of your fraudulent mean-spiritedness.
Very good. That was Erotic Letters to the Editor. Which brings us to our final segment of the evening.
It's quick.
Sorry, Mike.
Just tore through it.
It's a quick show. This is the last segment as a fan favorite called Location, Location, Location. Congrats. You're all run the following businesses in the following locations. Please make us want to come and shop. Alieda. You sell gay wedding cakes to a town completely populated by religious people.
And this is another poem. Believe me, if I had more time, all of them would be poems. But, all right, here it goes. This is a commercial, I suppose. Hello, wonderful people of Prude Town. Let me tell you of a product I make. I won't force you to fuck other gay dudes. I put frosting and sprinkles on bread that I bake. It starts with two simple layers, a rule that I never break, for we need a top and a bottom, and I name the layers John and Jake. For God loves a cheerful giver, but what's a little give without take? Let me ask you this one simple question. Is it really that gay if it's cake?
Very good. Very good, Alieda. Very good. Drew,
yes,
you are an Olympic curling coach on the Serengeti Plains.
That's right. Hey, kids, I'm Dougie McKenzie. Tired of enjoying the majestic wonders of the Serengeti? Are you sick of the countless lions, tigers, and hyenas polluting the wonderful blankness of our sprawling landscape? Are all those warthogs and wildebeests really cramping your style? Me too. That's why I've opened Kenya's first Olympic curling gym, Dougie's Stone Sliders Gymnasium. Kenya has never won a gold medal in Olympic curling, and it's about time that we do. In case you're wondering, curling involves sliding a heavy stone and sweeping. Doesn't that sound exciting? Come on down to Dougie's Stone Sliders Gymnasium and have a blast playing the whitest sport in history. I swear it's fun.
Very good. Very good. What inspired that prompt is me and my fiance are thinking of joining a curling league out in Roseville.
Nice.
It looks
the
real
whitest sport in history. Yeah.
She's sounds from Norway, so she's Norwegian, so it sort of makes sense. All right, Jesse, you are a professional mall Easter bunny who lives in Christmas Town.
What's the big deal about being born? Nothing. Everybody does it, and it's not like we even have anything to do with it. It just happens. It's the least exciting event in your entire life. Now, rising from the dead? That's a something to celebrate. And what more fitting way to celebrate this miraculous happening than getting your screaming child's picture taken with a giant rabbit in a bright pastel-colored shirt and a basket full of dye-soaked eggs. Fuzzy Luckfoot Crinkle Nose, professional Easter Bunny, has all of your seasonal Messiah-adjacent celebrational mascot needs covered. With none of the sweaty, handsy, rum and cigar-scented shame billowing from Santa's village, just outside Macy's and across from the Spencer's Gifts. Why, if you think about it, Fuzzy Luckfoot Crinkle Nose, the anytime Easter Bunny, is like Santa and Jesus combined. And now with our new permanent location in Christmastown Mall, you can fill all your Christly egg needs, whether they be hard-boiled, plastic, or chocolatey. So come on down to Fuzzy Luckfoot Crinkle Nose's Hoppy Meadows, located across from Wetzel's Pretzels, and right next to the still empty storefront that used to be KB Toys. We promise our lines are always short, Because getting your family souvenirs shouldn't be a crucifixion. Cross our hearts.
Very good. That was Stab. One more time for Ellie Yada, Drew Kimsey, and Jesse Jones. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, please go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being Stab 4 Gold, Stab, the number 4gold.com. Check us out on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. Go ahead and pick up your phone now and subscribe to us. And you can re-listen to this later and get the jokes you didn't get today. Thank you. Good night.